Good morning. Great day to be in the house of the Lord. Wouldn't it be amazing if we truly were so excited about being in the house of the Lord? This morning, each and every morning, wake up and go, you know, God, you're such a great God. I want to come together with my family, and I want to come sit in this place so that we can be together, so that we can strengthen each other, so we can come together as one. But then that's kind of what Peter did, right? On the Mount of Transfiguration, he's up there and he's like, hey, let's stay here, right? He said, no, you need to go back and tell people. This morning, we're going to talk about what you see. And part of that is going to be looking at going to other people. It's really crazy how God works, because this morning, what Brother Robert shared with us about the shooting that happened. Man, this world is full of crazy stuff. And we can let our attention be drawn to that. We're going to talk about, what do you see? What has your attention? What drives you? What has your thoughts? We live in a world today where people think lawlessness is okay. It's okay not to be obedient to the law that was placed here to protect us, to watch over us. But it's okay to not be obedient to that. It's okay to do whatever I want because it's what I feel that I need to do. And I can justify why I do it. It's okay for a person to take another person's life because they wronged you or someone else that you know. It's okay for a man to walk into a woman's restroom for whatever the reason may be. It's okay today for same-sex marriage. A time when our government blames mass shootings on guns instead of the people that are holding them. A time in our country where people are more worried about a gorilla being shot than a human life being taken. We're more worried about people that are coming into our country who hate our country, hate our God, stand against everything that we believe in, but we're more worried about them than the men and women who died or served our country so that we could have the freedom to worship our God. The people who came to protect us. It's a pretty messed up world. God's not surprised by it, though. He looks at it and he's hurting from it. But he's not surprised. See, here's the thing about what do you see, is some of us allow these things to control our thoughts. Each and every day we wake up, and because of what we see on the news determines what we do that day or what mindset we're in that day. Instead of waking up and looking to see what God wants, we wake up and see what is happening in the world and see what the enemy is doing to destroy what God created. We wake up each and every day and we walk in that manner. I'm going to tell you what this world needs is a shift of focus. And I'm not talking about just the people out there. I'm talking about the people in here. We need a shift of focus to stop looking at what the enemy is doing and look at what the Lord can do. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word. We are so thankful for the power that is within your word. Father, we're so thankful for what you can and will do when your people turn to you. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would hide me behind your cross. Lord, that you would be heard here in this place. Not my opinions, but Lord, strictly your word. Lord, that it would convict our hearts and draw us to that place before your throne. That we would respond and quit just going on and shrugging things off. Be with us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. For people out there in this world that are living according to these things that we talked about in the beginning, I saw some of your eyes as I'm saying, these are okay, these are okay, these are okay. Some of y'all had these big wide eyes. Like, is he condoning these things? No, I'm not. I'm saying that's what the world says. That's what society says. That's what, when we step outside of this building, it's what everything that we run in contact with says. It's okay. For those people out there, the message of the cross is foolishness. We seem completely and totally crazy because we're saying that for everything that's going on in the world today, for everything that has ever happened, one man dying on a cross covers it all. And by looking at him and focusing upon him and living in a way that honors and glorifies him, all this could go away. Y'all are nuts. That's what they say. Because it's hard for them to fathom something so easy could fix such a great and crazy lost world. In Corinthians, the Corinthian people had so much philosophy and wisdom that it was hard to believe the same thing in that point in time. And it wasn't even near as crazy. But to them, it was considered foolishness that that could happen. That's why Paul, in this instance, he talks about that. And he simply gets to a point where he says, no, I'm not going to give my opinion. I'm going to give simply the word of the cross. Nothing more than the word of the cross, the word of salvation, the word of Jesus dying, and the word of Jesus at hand before you. Some of us think, well, when I share the gospel, I need to explain it. No, you don't. The Spirit of God is at work. When you speak His word, He is standing beside you, speaking into their lives, and they have a choice to answer in one way or another. Paul decided to simply use the word of the cross. Simple. And I love how John MacArthur put in one of his study deals. He says that all men are in the process of either being saved or being destroyed. Their determination of that is based on their view of the cross. If we as a people walk around out here and we give people our opinions of what they're doing, it's not going to change their view upon the cross. If we walk around and point our fingers and say, you're wrong, it's not going to change their view upon the cross. But when we walk in a way that shows who our Jesus is, we'll get to that point in a minute. But when we walk in a way that shows who our Jesus is and share with them the simple message, but yet so powerful that it's transcended time and it will throughout eternity. Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. to defeat sin and the power of sin and the enemy. See, we talked about it being foolishness. Did you read what the second part of that said? That's for us. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is the power of God. It's what has you here this morning. The power of God because of what happened on the cross. People don't need our opinions. They need the Word of God. For those of us who claim Christianity, we've got to stop looking at what the world's doing. If I ask for people to raise their hands, I'm not going to, because somebody will beat me up afterwards, and I don't want to get beat up. I don't want Brother Robert to have to protect me. But if I truly asked this question this morning and said, how many of you woke up this morning or woke up yesterday morning, and instead of waking up and getting into God's Word and seeing what God has planned for you, you got up, you watched the news, you saw what was going on, and your first conversation of the day was about what had happened that you'd heard. I think a lot of us would go, that's me. We start our day in the morning seeing what the enemy is doing outside of our home. Instead of waking up and seeing what the power of God says for our lives for that day. We need to turn our eyes away from the wind and the waves and the storm that's happening out here. Am I telling us to avoid it and not look at it and act like it doesn't exist? Not by any means. I'm telling you to change your focus. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Paul uses a race over and over and over and over so that we can get the big picture here. He makes the point of running a race. I am going to ask you to raise your hand. How many of y'all have ever run a race, even if it's against your wife trying to get to the last ho-ho, whatever it may be? You've ran a race. If it is going to that last ho-ho, or what was the thing that they did away with for a little while? Twinkie. The last Twinkie ever, right? And you had it. When you begin to run, you're not looking at the person you're racing. You're looking at the ho-ho, the Twinkie. When you run in an athletic event, we've got some people in here who have been coaches. Do you say, tell your team, hey guys, when you're running, pay attention to that person right next to you and be sure you're one step ahead of them. When you're running, make sure no one else is catching up. When you're running, wave at everybody in the stands. Hey, how y'all doing? You say, look at that finish line and go with all you have to it. Run with purpose. Run with conviction. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Worry about how much you can give to run this race. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We can't run when we're not looking at the finish line. We can't run our best when we're looking around at everything else. That's what Paul's trying to say. Stop looking at everything else. Look at Christ. Look at Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Turn your eyes on him. We as Christians sometimes find ourselves getting preoccupied. And we're not always looking at the people in the stands or the people running next to us or the people behind us. But we get so preoccupied looking at me, what I'm doing right, how I'm walking in a manner that people see Jesus. We look at other people and say, they're not. I'm a step ahead of them. I'm doing better than they are. I'm not as bad as they are. So I must be okay. That's false. You can't run well when you're looking at your own feet. Some of us have tried. Some of us have tried to dance and we look at our feet, right? Oh, wait, exercise, sorry. Got to fix that. We try to exercise with someone else and we're looking at our feet, and we're exercising, we're looking at our feet, we never can exercise to the full ability, can we? If we're focused on the other person, we can't. We've got to be focused on the bigger picture. Some of you are going to beat me later for that one, but that's okay. For us to be able to run, for us to be able to exercise, for us to be able to do what God's called us to do, we have to stop looking at the world and we have to look at Jesus and look directly upon Him and His Word, who He is. Who is Jesus? I've asked that question before, and students say, well, He's Jesus, the Messiah. Well, who is He? Well, He's the Son of God. But who is He? What has He done? Well, He died on the cross. What has He done for you? He took me away from my sin. Is that all? He's comforted me when I hurt. He's been there to walk me through tough things in life that I don't know how to walk through. He's been the words when I didn't know what to say. We have to focus on His kingdom and not ours. And when we focus on those things, we'll begin to run this race with purpose and with balance. We'll begin to go through this world with a purpose. Our eyes will be taken away from other things. When we turn our eyes off of this world, off of what the enemy is doing, and look to Christ and who He is and what He's doing and His kingdom, it becomes contagious. Do you know that? People want what you have when they see that you are truly looking upon Jesus, because amazing things begin to happen. You find peace when there's turmoil. You find comfort when things are tough. And everyone's looking for comfort. Everyone's looking for peace. And when our eyes are fixed and it becomes contagious and their eyes become turned upon who Jesus is, they see that God is greater than anything in this world. That Jesus is greater than what we just heard about this morning. He is greater than anything that has ever happened on this earth. And He is in control of all things. It's easy for us to look away. In that scripture, it says that Jesus dealt with great hostility while here on earth. Some of these events that are happening here on earth affect us personally. They affect people around us. They affect the families. There's hostility against them. Things come, but Scripture tells us that He dealt with hostility. If you remember in Matthew 26:39, there's a point where Jesus, instead of dealing with the hostility, dealing with what's about to happen, He says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Let what's about to happen pass, but if it's your will, let it be. Not my will, but yours. The hostility that was coming against Christ on our behalf. The crucifixion that was coming upon Christ on our behalf. He faced more hostility than we will ever begin to understand. But he faced it with a purpose. And where were his eyes? Upon the Father. He ran while he was here with his eyes focused upon the Father. Not on what was happening around him. It's difficult for us to see what's happening without growing weary and faint. How many of you, every time you watch the news, you just kind of go, oh, it hurts. Because that's all we hear about is what's going wrong. Jesus walked this earth with his eyes focused on the Father. And if we refocus, if we change what we see, that we're focused on Jesus, let's see what can happen. In Matthew 14, 25 through 33, it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I, do not be afraid. These men had just walked away from seeing Jesus do some miraculous things. They're out on a boat now. The winds are kicking up, the waves. And all of a sudden, this image comes that they begin to see. And they get scared. Jesus says, whoa, 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 don't be afraid. Why are you afraid? It's just me. Do you think that maybe because of the wind and the waves and the things that were going on, they were already a little panicky? When he said, don't be afraid, he began to speak to him and basically said, hey, it's me. Look at me. It's me. Let's look at what happened. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why do you doubt? And when they climbed in the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Jesus said, look at me. Don't be afraid. Look, it's me. And when he did, Peter said, call me out to you. And I've taught this over and over and over, and this is something that came through as I was studying this past week. I've said for years that when he called Peter out, that Peter may have tested the water, you know, riding the boat over the waves, testing the water. Okay, am I going to go out there? Am I going to be able to do this? But from what I read here, Jesus said, look at me. Come. And what's it tell us? He climbed out of the boat. He didn't look and go, well, but there's wind and there's waves and reality, I can't walk on water, but you want me to come to you? He saw Jesus. He was focused and he had a direction and Jesus said, come, and he came without any idea of what was going to happen. Because he trusted Jesus. kind of look at this differently now. I said he used to test the waters. No, Jesus said come, and he went to going. Because it says, then he saw the wind. He was focused on Jesus, and he began to make his way, and he started out there, and then he saw what was happening. And then he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus called all of us. He said, come to me. Come on. Come to me. I want to show you something. I want you to walk and follow me. I don't want you to look at the wind that causes you begin to sink. I want you to focus on me because I'm over here. And I've got something for you over here. And all those men sitting in the boat, when they see you walk across this water, they will have no doubt that I am who I say I am. Because he was so focused on Jesus, like we should be, all he saw when Jesus called was Jesus. Because of that, something miraculous happened. Do y'all know what that was? Jesus called him. Peter got out and walked across water. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where anyone else had ever done that. I've not heard of anyone doing it since. My question is, how focused are we on Jesus? Jesus called us and he said, I'm here, come to me. We as Christians should be so focused on him and not the world that as we begin to walk, people see it. And when we walk in a way that Jesus has called us to come, we become the hands and feet of Jesus as we go. This world out here that's lost, that we see things on the news and we cry about, we pray about, how much are we getting out of our homes, out of our wonderfully beautiful, comfortable sanctuary with focus on Jesus and walking toward Jesus and giving the simple message of the cross in which they believe to be foolishness? How much are we doing that? Or are we afraid that stepping out of the boat, we're going to sink? Starting out with defeat. Or do we believe that Jesus has the power to change a nation? To break the hearts of people in our community and bend their knees before his throne? Peter walked on water. What could he do through our church, through this group of believers? What could he do through the church in general? If we quit looking at what the enemy's doing and we're so focused on who Jesus is that we become his hands and feet. What do you see? Do you see Jesus calling you to be at work? see, and a lot of people look at that and go, so you're telling me to be a follower of Christ, I got to, no. I'm saying being a follower of Christ, it's a byproduct of being at work. We can't hold it back. We can't help it. Because there's so much joy in our heart that we want to tell others about who He is. We live in such a manner that people question, what are you doing? I want that. Where is your focus this morning? We talked about the race, about running the race and looking at the end. And some of you say, I'm in the race and I'm good there. I'm not at the front, but I'm in it. What if we focused on the finish? We focused on Jesus to the point that what we heard in the end was, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because I don't know that I want to go before Him. I'm going to be happy to stand in His presence either way. I don't believe that this is something that Jesus would say, but it's something that I think about when I live every day. Jesus said, what I gave you, what'd you do with it? You're here. Congratulations. But what about the word that I entrusted you with? Why did you hide it within you? Why did you keep it to yourself? Saddens me to think of that. I would rather walk into His presence and say, hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been at work in my kingdom. And I have seen so many people because of your obedience. This morning, as Ethan comes up to lead us in a time of invitation, Brother Robert and I will be available. Some of you in here for the first time have never really looked upon Jesus. You've heard His name, you've came to church, you've done the things that you think you're supposed to do, but you've never looked upon Jesus and said, wow, I am going to run toward you. Some of us need to come down here to this altar and fall on our face before the Lord and say, I've let everything in this world distract me. I've let everything in this world draw my attention away from you. Bring my focus back upon you. And some of us just need to get real with where we are and stop justifying what we do. If you fall in one of those or anything else in the way that the Lord convicts you, I ask you to respond this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Moved by who you are. Father, as so many things are going on out in this world, we do pray, Lord, that you would comfort people. Father, that you would change hearts of the people that are causing so much turmoil. Lord, but this morning I pray that you would take our focus and draw it upon you so that we can be obedient and walk and lead these people. To lead them in a way that they see your face. Because the only way that people are going to turn from what they're doing is when they see what it is there is to turn to. Let us be examples of what it means to be a follower of you. Let us be a people who are so in love with you and throw everything off that hinders us, that when we see someone, when we meet them, they don't have to ask about you because they already see you. Father, and for those here this morning who don't know you, I pray, Lord, that they would let go of the pew, they would not hold on anymore, but they would come running to you as Peter jumped out of the boat and headed towards you. And Lord, that we as a church would walk alongside them to show what it means to follow you. Thank you so much for this time. It's in your name we pray. Amen.